We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Harris. I'm sitting in for Celeste Quinn this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine. And our guest this afternoon is Mickey Scheinman. She is the author of A Guide to Art at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, Robert Allerton Park, and Chicago. Mickey, welcome and thanks for being in this afternoon.
I'm glad to be here.
So when I found your book on the shelf, I guess my first thought on it was, oh, it's another one of those sort of standard guides to art and museums around the campuses. So I picked it up, and what I actually found out was that, one, I was completely wrong, and the only museum really the museum you're really talking about is our whole campus, really. Is that sort of the description? Is that a fair description?
Yeah, it's a museum without walls. There's a lot of art in the Granite Art Museum, but wherever you go on campus, a hallway, on a sculpture all of a sudden looming up, or mural in a library, there are works of art that you didn't know anything about, and they're worth looking at.
And that's so you put this book together, and I guess what was the reason? I mean, what made you?
Well, it began as a dissertation thesis, and it was just fun. I just learned a lot, and there were so many interesting things. And I can remember in the beginning, someone said, I hope you're including those sculptures, those reliefs on Lincoln Hall. And I said, what reliefs? And I looked up, and there were 10 panels on the life of Lincoln, which had been done in 1909, I think, on his birthday. And they're worth seeing, and there's a great story connected with it. And it's a story also about the architectural faculty, which didn't... Well, there are a lot of stories.
Well, that's what, when you flip through the book, I thought that was the next thing I looked at. It really is a guidebook format. It looks like one of the sort of tour guidebooks you find in a lot of places, and you have maps in it complete with the numbers of how to see these various pieces. But you don't just talk about, you know, who made them and when. You talk about the stories behind them. And I think a lot of those are surprising. But I think one of the things you just talked about is this is a surprising campus. Every place you look around, we find art in the most amazing places on this campus that we might not even think about. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is.
So we're just going to talk about the Urbana-Champaign campus. You covered Robert Allerton Park, which is just full of all sorts of art, and obviously the Illinois-Chicago campus, which is an amazing place itself, but we just don't have time for that. So just thinking about the 40 or 50 spots on this campus, what are some of your favorites? I know you have some you think that are just very surprising and very impressive.
Well, I think everyone should go into the second floor of Altgeld Hall, where there are four big allegorical murals that were done at the turn of the century. There are allegorical paintings with lofty themes, the muses in the garden, Socrates and other famous authors. They might have been separated in time, but there they are. So there are three classical scenes done then. Altgeld Hall is itself a historic building, neo-Romanesque
right.
architecture. But the fourth, so they there are a lot of different, you know, they depict agriculture and science and literature. But the fourth is a forge of Vulcan, and it's the interior of a steel foundry, which was a contemporary theme at that time, 1899, and the students like that best. So I think it's worth going. They're picturesque. They have a lot of figures. Some of the figures, the artist, Newton Alonzo Wells, actually used sorority girls as subjects, because I found his sketches, the original sketches. And it's very exciting, and they really mark a historical period and the kind of paintings which were esteemed and wanted. It changes. We have a lot of contemporary works.
Sure. Now, I think the one about Altgeld particularly interesting is I've actually seen those murals, and they surprised me when I found them. They're on the dome of the math library, which I would guess, unless you're a math student or using the library, there are thousands of people on this campus that have never gone in there, and they walk literally daily within 30 feet of those murals. And it's open to the public, and they're always there. And it's one of those examples of really amazing art under our noses.
That's right. There are people who have asked me, people who are just townspeople, are they allowed on the campus? And I said, yes, absolutely, walk around. So that's one thing to know also.
So one other thing, I guess, in that area, one that I know you mentioned when we were talking earlier, the Diana Fountain.
Yes. That brings up the question of how did these works of art get here? Because some were commissioned by the university, some were gifts by alumni, or they came from other places. The Diana Fountain, for example, came from the Time Life Building in Chicago, and it was purchased by alumni who brought it down. And that was an important Art Deco work.
And the Diana Fountain, just for listeners that aren't aware of its official name, you've probably, if you've walked past the Illini Union and the backside between there and Altgeld Hall, you've walked past the Diana Fountain.
And it's the fountain is probably on now because the weather is good. And it's really gorgeous. It's by the same sculptor, the same Swedish sculptor that did the big, what's the one at Allerton Park?
The Sun Singer.
The Sun Singer. And that itself is an interesting story. But the Diana Fountain has all kinds of lasciviously leering satyrs and beautifully voluptuous nymphs and goddesses. And it describes it, the figure, that the main figure is Diana, the goddess of the hunt, and she's using her bow and she's shooting a deer, perhaps. There are unicorns, there are boars. It's bronze and marble, and it's worth sitting there. There are benches there. It's just a nice place to muse about mythology.
So I think that's that's a case where literally thousands of us walk past it daily and don't really think of it as art, even though it clearly is. And I think one of the best examples, I don't think you can talk about art on our campus without talking about the alma mater.
Oh, yeah. Yes. By the way, you can also see different styles of art. That has Art Deco figures of the 1930s, and it was done in 1930. Yeah, the alma mater is really an impressive figure. It's really majestic, and it shows alma mater, our mother, with learning and labor of two figures, a man and a woman. It's tall, it's monumental, it's dramatic. Every time there's a graduation, everybody poses there, and so it's a place for it. But it's in a wonderful location at the corner of Green and Wright Street, and it was done by Laredo Taft. That was a commission, and he did it because it was his alma mater, and he wrote nice things about it. Originally, it was set behind the auditorium, and then it was moved up to Green Street, and the students thought it was terrible. It was just cheapening a beautiful work of art. It works fine, and it really is impressive. She seems to be welcoming everyone to campus.
And I think that's very interesting about that is that again, you know, that's a place everybody has their photo taken with it when they graduate. We decorate it for various occasions. People climb on it.
Sometimes there's a bra on it.
Exactly. I mean, this is a place where people don't, I think, miss maybe that it's really art because we get to live with it. And that's the beauty of our campus, that these things are, we can touch them, we can sit on them, we can experience them.
And Laredo Taft is a very interesting sculptor. He, as I said, his father was on the faculty. He graduated from the university. There are a number of works here. The Lincoln sculpture in Carl Park is by Laredo Taft. His house is on Florida Avenue. And you'll see it there. It's a white house just on the way to Lincoln, well, near Lincoln Avenue. And he was just a very important artist, and I think that we appreciate his work. He also did, I think we should look at this, in the law building, in the entrance, when you come into the building, there's a relief, a low relief. It's the original. I'm just going on about this.
Absolutely. No, this, that's your book.
It has a terrific story. That was done by Laredo Taft. It was a commission by the people in Quincy, Illinois. The bronze that was, this is the original plaster, and the bronze is in Quincy, Illinois.
Okay.
But he was commissioned to do that by people in Quincy, and the story, the letters I discovered were fabulous. They said, it's the Lincoln Douglas debate, and it shows Douglas, the little giant who was 5'4", debating with Long Abe, who was 6'4", And when Taft brought forth his first proposal, the Quincy sponsors unanimously rejected it. They said, while you have reproduced both Lincoln and Douglas faithfully, you've given Lincoln too much prominence and have shown Douglas in too small a position. Personally, that would be no objection, they wrote. But we have a host of people here of the Democratic faith in politics, and they'd criticize the committee severely if it appeared that this was principally a Lincoln memorial. At least place the figures in a little different position. Show them on a more even scale. Well, their other letters went back with he changed the sketch, and then they ignored the sketch. Could you just work up a sketch, maybe placing Douglas standing and Lincoln sitting? Well, how did it turn out, I wrote. As can be seen, gradations of relief indicate depth and create an interplay of light and shadow in the crowded, rather woodenly modeled finished work. Douglas shares center stage with Lincoln and seems to have gained physical stature. He really does look as like it's like a 6'4" man sitting down.
By committee, Douglas got bigger.
That's right. And somewhere in the story is a lesson about respecting an artist's judgment.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see it from that point of view, to see it wasn't, in fact, the last work that he did, that Laredo Taft did. After that, the city of Quincy dedicated the statue, the sculpture, in 1936. And Taft attended the ceremony, caught a cold, and died 17 days later at the age of 76. So you see an early work and a later work, and you'll see other works of his around campus.
And I think really that is, you know, obviously, these stories, there are 40 or 50 of them in the book on this campus alone, much less all the ones in Chicago and all the ones in Allerton Park. But I guess really the thing to take away from it, especially with a lot of beginning the fall here with a lot of new people on campus and a lot of people that have been on campus a long time, quite frankly, there's all sorts of new things to discover all around campus.
It's an ideal time to walk around. And did you know we had two halls of fame?
I did, in fact, know we have two halls of fame. There's the Farmers Hall of Fame, and there is the Journalists Hall of Fame, both of which I know only because I read your book.
Well, the Farmers Hall of Fame is neglected, and there's just several paintings still there. The Journalists Hall of Fame is in Gregory Hall, and it's worth seeing those very nice bronze busts.
Absolutely. And we're running out of time. And like I say, there's so many stories to tell. I'm speaking with our guest this afternoon, Mickey Scheinman. She's the author of A Guide to Art at the University of Illinois. It was published in 1995, but it is still in print. It's published by the University of Illinois Press. You can find it on their website. You can find it on Amazon.com or just Google Guide to Art at Illinois and you'll find it. Mickey?
I'd just like to add, are we almost out of time?
We are.
Oh, well, the Crannan Art Museum is worth seeing. The collections Absolutely. Are marvelous. There are sculptures outside and inside. And there, Lincoln Hall has sculptures. And there's a very nice Depression-era mural in the natural resource buildings. The Chicago campus has a lot of...
The list goes on.
WPA. Go and see it. Take there are copies in the library that's still in the bookstores. And there are wonderful murals in the library, too.
And, yep, and again, it's in print. Get a copy. See your campus in a new way. Thank you very much, Mickey.
I'm so glad to be here.
And you've been listening to an interview conducted by Chris Harris, talking to Mickey Scheinman about her book, A Guide to Art at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, Robert Allerton Park, and Chicago. It's published by U of I Press.
Earth and Sky.
Synthetic biology is sort of focused, for me, on how you make the process of engineering biology easier, quicker, cheaper, more reliable.
You're listening to Drew Endy, an assistant professor in the Department of Bioengineering at Stanford University. He spoke with Earth Sky about an emerging field of science called synthetic biology. It relies in part, he said, on new tools of biotechnology.
A tool that allows you to, instead of cutting and pasting pieces of DNA, genetic material, that already exist, build new genetic material from scratch. People are constructing cells and circuits within cells, genetic circuits, not electrical circuits.
Dr. Endy pointed to the development of an antimalarial drug called artemisinin as a successful product of synthetic biology. In this case, the technique was used to construct a new strain of bacteria to produce the drug. He also talked about future goals of synthetic biology. For example, engineering more nitrogen-fixing capacity into plants.
Imagine if you had a grass that could emit light at night, so you didn't need to wire up some little electrical light bulbs.
And he also acknowledged the risks.
We probably all need to learn enough and prepare to have conversations that don't just happen once, but conversations that are ongoing conversations.
For interviews with scientists, come to earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programs are made possible by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, opening its 50th season with the return of Symphony at Sunset, an evening with the symphony under the stars on Saturday, September 19th at 7 p.m. at Dodds Park in Champaign. More information is available at 351-9139.
Coming up next on PRI's The World, renewable energy.